Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Part 5. Rhea was used to teleporting. She had long ago come to terms with the feeling of moving through a void, where you didn't know what was up or down or which way you were moving. When she did, however, she had always been the one in control. It had been her mind that guided the trip, her focus that determined the place of emergence. This time, she was along for the ride, and she didn't care for the feeling at all. It felt completely different. And now she realized exactly why Jim had thrown up every time she'd brought him along for a jump. Instead of the normal space-like void she was used to, she felt like she was carried on a wave through an impressionist painting. Around her, colors swirled and formed almost shapes before they became colors again. She was waving her hands wildly, trying to keep her balance without knowing how. The only thing she was sure of was Huyana's presence beside her, holding on to her. It seemed to last for a while, but she knew from experience that it was impossible to tell time during a jump. When the world came into focus again, it took her a moment to regain her bearings. Her slippers rested on a forest floor, and she was standing in the edge of a clearing. In the middle, she could see a magic circle, and the place was lit up with flashes of blue light. When her vision cleared more, she could see the Tempest team scattered around. None of them seemed to have noticed her yet. Mercedes and Charlie lying on the ground, Andrew to her right, on one knee and covering his bleeding face, Bob and Jim to the left, and the man in the center with his back to her. Even though she had never seen him in this form before, she had heard Jim's description of him and knew who he was.
"Anderson," she breathed. "Where are we, Huyana?"
"We're in the spirit world, and they can't do this without you. Please help them,"
the girl whispered, squeezing Rhea's hand in hers. Rhea felt the nausea fade away. She was still wearing only a bathrobe and pajamas, but she stood as tall as if she'd been wearing her black costume. She closed her eyes, mentally opening all the floodgates for her powers that she had discovered during the battle in Las Vegas a few days ago. She clenched her hands into fists and felt the power build in her. She imagined it like a river flowing through her, spreading from her mind to every corner of her body. When she felt like the river was under her control, she opened her eyes and called out,
"Anderson!"
The man in the center of the circle turned his head to her voice. His eyes met hers, and even though the only time she'd seen him face to face, he'd been inside an artificial body, she recognized his eyes. They seemed to reach deep inside her from across the clearing. They were full of amusement, superiority, and madness. But when they focused on her, she realized there was suddenly also fear in the mix.
"Rhea,"
he asked, before looking at Huyana.
"You? You brought her here? You can cross the threshold between the worlds by yourself? I'm impressed. If I'd known about you, I might not have even bothered with my plan."
"You stay the hell away from her." Rhea's voice was cold.
To her left, she saw Jim and Bob stop their movements, staring over at her. Jim's mouth opened, but she didn't listen if any words came out. She was focused on Anderson.
"And what exactly are you going to do? This is the spirit world."
"Well, Jim told me once how you taught him that in here, the mind is king," she smiled, a cold, dark smile. "And
baby, there's no mind stronger than mine. She lifted her hand and pointed at the stones in the circle. In the next second, they all tore free of the ground and flew straight up into the sky. Anderson's eyes widened as his protective circle suddenly vanished. Rhea felt the power wanting to do more, to attack Anderson and pull his body apart. But something inside her made her hold back her attack. Jim twirled his sword in one hand, walking forward toward him.
"I've still got this,"
Anderson said, raising the device in his hand. Rhea recognized it as the one from Las Vegas.
"I'm nearly alive again. The energy from those two was not enough. But with the rest of you..."
Bob took a step back, preparing to dodge the blue energy bolt. Jim, however, continued forward, sword raised in one hand. His eyes were locked on Anderson, who looked from Jim to Rhea. It was clear he didn't know who to aim at. Rhea looked at the device in his hand and reached out with her mind to snatch it. But before she could, something large and gray flew at her from the trees around the clearing. She quickly used her powers to create a mental barrier, blocking the flying thing from hitting her a moment before it would have struck her face. She looked at it, disgusted. It was most of all like a flying dinosaur. But when she looked closer, she could see human features in the twisted face. She had no idea what Anderson had done to the spirit, but it could not have been pleasant. With a quick flick of her wrist, she sent the creature hurling into the underbrush. While she was distracted, Anderson aimed the device at Jim, who was now closing on him. He pressed the button, and the blue glow enveloped Jim. He screamed in pain.
"Jim!"
Andrew shouted, which made Rhea's stomach turn. She saw the blue glow flow over the two men, but this time it was more powerful than it had been when she first appeared. Color and sparks flew from Jim to Anderson. Anderson's face looked filled with evil glee as he held the device out like a pistol in front of him.
"This is it! This is all I ever needed, Jim! Why didn't I think of that before? You're immortal! You have more life to give than anyone!"
Jim bent his head from the pain of the ray. Rhea saw him stagger, bending forward as if he was about to double over. But when he raised his head again, she was surprised to see him smiling a strained smile.
"Are you sure?"
he said. Anderson's grin suddenly became a grimace on his face.
"You told me so yourself. I'm not like anyone else. I'm not living, not dead. My spirit isn't like the ones you've been sucking up life from before. I don't know if it's angelic, demonic, or whatever, but I'm pretty sure what you just got wasn't what you needed. In fact, it might be the exact opposite."
Anderson's hand began to tremble. His finger let go of the button, and the blue glow vanished. Jim straightened up, walking forward again.
"No,"
Anderson whispered. He looked at the device, then at his fingers, which now seemed to flicker and fade in and out of being.
"How?" "It steals life. Years to live. But I'm already dead. What you just did was the spirit equivalent of putting air into a gas tank. As I said, pretty much exactly the opposite of what you needed."
Anderson swayed like he was drunk. Rhea seized the opportunity and grabbed the device with her mind, pulling it from his fingers and hurling it across the clearing where Andrew caught it. Jim pointed his sword at Anderson's chest.
"You've got no magic circle, no life-sucking device, and you've got a very pissed-off immortal and a powerful psionic in your face. So tell me, Anderson, how do you see this ending?"
Anderson's eyes looked around the trees, and suddenly the strange birds took flight.
Hoyana, those birds are actually people's spirits. I wish they were whole again,
Jim shouted. Hoyana nodded her head and smiled. Granted. Instead of the birds, the clearing was now filled with people. Men, women, children, all looking at each other with confused looks. Rhea could feel them looking at her as well, but she kept her eyes on Anderson. Jim still held Anderson at bay with a sword, but called over his shoulder.
Andrew?
Andrew came to his side, still holding the device in one hand. His bleeding face dripped a trail of red on the grass.
Hoyana, can I wish for Andrew's wound to be healed? Jim said.
Yes, wish granted.
Andrew breathed a sigh of relief as he felt his face tingle and the blood stopped flowing down his cheek. He looked at the device in his hand.
I say it's time we use this thing for the purpose it was meant for, he said. If you kill me, you kill the life I just stole as well. Your friends will be as good as dead.
Anderson's voice sounded nothing like his commanding and superior voice from before. It was shaking, terrified. Jim cocked his head in fake consideration.
Is that so? Damn, if only I'd thought of that before. Oh, right, I did. Well, watch this. Hoyana, I wish that Mercedes and Charlie are returned to life.
Hoyana shook her head slowly. I'm not really... I can't do that. It's the one thing I'm not supposed to do.
Jim turned his head, and it felt like his spine turned into ice.
What?
I'm not supposed to bring people back from the dead. That's...
She hesitated.
That's the tribe's law. If I do, it'll affect... Well, everything. It would be really bad. You didn't say anything about this.
She looked like she was about to cry. Anderson laughed.
Well, isn't that precious? So at least I managed to deprive you of...
They're not actually dead.
Bob knelt by Mercedes, holding her hand in his.
They're just unconscious and really old.
Jim smiled.
Hoyana, can I wish for the device to work both ways, so it can return energy as well as kill?
Hoyana nodded and smiled, her sadness immediately forgotten.
Sure!
Wish granted.
They all looked at the device, where a new button now sat square in the middle, marked Return Energy. Jim breathed a sigh of relief.
Thanks.
He walked to Mercedes, put the device in her hand, and used her finger to push the button before stepping away quickly. Green light shot from the device and enveloped Anderson, who screamed in pain. The beam hit Mercedes and Charlie, rolling over them like waves. Rhea could see the white streaks in Mercedes' long black hair vanish as they both returned to their normal age and appearance. Charlie groaned, pushed himself up on his knees, and looked at them.
Holy... What happened? Just a minute, Jim said.
When the glow faded away, Anderson looked decidedly less solid. His eyes were filled with pain and hate. Jim shifted his sword to the other hand.
It's over, Anderson. All the games, all the torture and killing, it ends now. Do you hear me?
The black man looked at him with eyes that burned.
It will never end, Jim. Never. Not for you.
I was afraid you'd say that. Jim looked at Hoyana.
Hoyana, I realize that this might also be against the rules, so feel free to say no. This man did a lot of bad things. He's killed and hurt a lot of people, and we want to make sure he doesn't do it again.
Could you grant a wish that would lock his spirit up somewhere it could never get out of? A dimension all to himself, for instance.
Huyana considered.
That's like wishing he was dead. I can't kill somebody.
It won't be like killing him. It'll be like wishing for him to be totally safe, and at the same time, the world would be safe from him. If you can't do that, I'll have to actually kill him.
Huyana considered this, biting her lower lip.
Excuse me,
a voice said, and they all turned to look at several people from the crowd who had now approached them.
Wonderful,
Anderson said and sighed. The man in front was a construction worker type, dressed in overalls and a blue baseball cap. He pointed to Anderson.
Don't we get any say in this? He's the guy who killed us, not to mention had us do his bidding.
Jim looked at the others. Charlie was busy cradling Mercedes, who was just now opening her eyes. She took a deep breath, widened her eyes, and sat up.
Dios mio! Did we make it? Is it over?
More or less. Charlie stroked her hair. Relax. We're okay, I think.
Please tell me I don't look like I'm 80,
Mercedes said, looking at her hands.
Not at all. You look amazing.
A woman in a yellow sundress stepped up to the construction worker, her face a mask of anger.
He killed me in front of my little girl! Took my soul apart! He should pay for what he's done!
A murmur of agreement spread quickly through the group, and Jim noticed that Anderson's eyes went from one to the other, as if remembering every single evil deed done to that person. Rhea had stepped closer to Jim and leaned forward to whisper in his ear.
Jim, what are you going to do? I'm all for making sure he's no threat anymore, but letting the mob tear him to pieces seems...
excessive? You're right.
Jim spoke up.
People, shut up and listen for a moment.
This didn't exactly calm the mood around them, and people began crowding closer to them. Hands reached forward, grabbing for Anderson, pushing Jim's sword away from his chest. Andrew lost his balance, fell on his back, and saw Charlie being stepped on by two men pushing forward. Mercedes got to her feet, trying to push people away, but to no avail. Rhea's brow furrowed, and she raised one hand. Instantly, the people closest to them were pushed back, staggering as the mental shield shoved them backwards. It created a bubble of about 8 feet, with Andrew, Jim, Huyana, Rhea, and Anderson in the center.
Ha-ha! Kill me, and the crowd might tear you apart. Hand me over to them and do something almost as evil as I've done. A conundrum, isn't it?
Anderson said, returning to his old hippie voice.
That's a heavy choice, man.
A voice from outside the bubble spoke up, a voice Jim recognized.
Hey, stay back! Back, all of you! Coming through! Police business!
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jim's face lit up in a smile as he saw a familiar, heavy-set figure pushing through the crowd until he reached the front. He stopped, looking in at Jim and his friends. In death, he seemed to have returned to the body shape he had before his crash diet.
"I guess this is the reunion none of us expected, huh?"
Roger Charles said, putting his hands on his hips. He turned to the crowd around him.
People, I'm from the police. That might not mean shit in the afterlife, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you just tear this guy apart as a lynch mob, you'd be absolutely no better than him. You'd be killers. Do you really want that? Is revenge that important to you?
Several of the crowd stopped pushing and shoving. They looked at Charles, considering his words. Others behind them kept shoving their way forward.
I'm a cop. I've been a cop for more than 20 years, and I expected to go on being a cop for a long time before this creep's henchman killed me. I say, if this is going to go right, then we need to go by the law. I'll take care of him.
That quieted several more people, and now Jim saw that most of the group was listening to Charles.
I've never known Roger to be so persuasive. Death becomes him, he whispered to Rhea.
What do you suggest?
The construction worker said.
That we find a judge and give him a trial? Even if we're dead, this is still California, right? We still have the death penalty.
Actually, I've got a better idea.
Charles looked at the spirits in front of him in turn as he spoke.
I've lived my whole life in San Francisco, just like many of you probably did. We had Alcatraz there, a prison you could never escape from once you were inside. I think we could do the same with this man. Lock him up, forever.
And who's going to look after him?
The construction worker said.
You?
Sure, why not? It wouldn't be the first time I've locked up someone dangerous to keep society safe. If this world doesn't have a prison, I'll build one.
Jim spoke up now, making the closest people turn and look at him.
Inspector Charles here is, as he said, a cop. A damn fine one. If he would take responsibility for the imprisonment of Anderson Kramer here, I'd say he would be in good hands.
Imprisonment still sounds too easy,
the woman in the sundress said.
Why can't we execute him for what he did to us?
I've already killed this man once, and he came back. Before that, he died of natural causes and came back. I don't believe death will hold him. He'll find some way of making it back, rebuilding his spirit again and come after me, or even you, again. If he's to be locked away, it needs to be somewhere absolutely safe.
How do you propose to do it anyway? A third man said. We're already dead. What prison can hold a dead man?
Charles scratched his head.
Well, I never really believed in this spirit world, even though you always told me you could see the spirits, Jim. I didn't even know there was another world. But if there are two worlds, there's got to be more, right? Maybe we could make a prison in another world.
Jim turned to Huyana.
Honey, this is the big one. Could I wish for this man to be locked away, not alone, not like being dead, but with someone else, in another world where it was impossible to get out of?
I guess I could do that, Huyana said, hesitating. But wouldn't he still be all alone?
I'd be with him, Charles said. Like, his bodyguard and prison guard at the same time, making sure he didn't hurt anyone and that no one hurt him.
You're really serious, Roger? Jim said. You'd be okay with spending eternity with him?
Charles scratched his head and grinned.
You know, I don't think I'd fit in the regular afterlife anyway. I don't even know how to play the harp.
It would be awfully lonely for you with just him to talk to.
Well, I've never been much of a people person. You know that. Besides, I'm pretty sure old Anderson here could fill me in on a lot of criminal history of the Bay Area. I've got a lot of old cases I'm dying to get details on. No pun intended.
If you're really sure, Jim said.
I know better than to try and talk you out of it.
Charles lowered his voice.
Tell you the truth, Jim, I don't mind doing my job forever. It's always been my life. I couldn't imagine not being a cop. Now, I won't have to.
Jim looked at his friend, who grinned back at him. For a moment, he wondered if Charles was doing this out of some kind of nobility, or if he really had thought it through. There was a time where he himself had liked Anderson, and he knew the man could be good company. What he couldn't imagine was spending eternity with just him. Then it dawned on him. Charles had never had many friends. In fact, he himself had probably been the only one. The policeman was used to being alone, to doing his job and taking his pleasure from the fact that he did it well. What he was now offering to do was continue that existence in his afterlife. To him, that might even be the closest thing to heaven he could imagine. Jim looked at Huyana again.
So, if Inspector Charles promised to go with Anderson, could you grant the wish?
I mean, yeah. Then he wouldn't be all alone, right? He'd have someone to talk to. I guess I could do that.
And Roger, you're not backing down?
I'm not. Now stop asking.
Jim rose to his feet, took Charles' hand and shook it, but Charles pulled him into a bear hug. Jim was surprised at first, but hugged him back.
You know, I'll miss you, old man, Charles said when he stepped back. But
he looked back at Mercedes, Andrew, Charlie, Bob, and Rhea.
I think you're in pretty good hands. Take care of yourself.
Jim looked at Anderson.
Anything to add before we slam the door shut?
Anderson looked at the crowd and then focused on Jim.
I said it before, Jim. It will never be over. Not for you. You'll go on, and always dread the day I find a way out. Because I will. And I'll know where to find you.
Yeah, you will.
Office hours are posted on the door.
Jim pushed Anderson to Charles' side, and the policeman took a firm grip on his collar. Jim looked at Huyana.
I wish for Roger Charles and Anderson Kramer to be locked inside another world from where there is no escape.
Huyana closed her eyes and bit her lip, concentrating. The air around the two men shimmered like summer heat over a highway, and within a couple of seconds, their shapes were lost in the shimmer. When the last flicker was gone, Mercedes breathed a sigh of relief.
So, Jim, let me get one thing straight,
Andrew said, turning to Jim.
Did you plan this? The whole thing? Mercedes taking the hit, Charlie taking the hit, both of them possibly dying, just so he would hit you and choke on whatever it is that keeps you alive?
That was the plan, yes. I had hoped he'd shoot me first. But if I'd shown up alone, he would have known something was wrong, that I was trying to fool him somehow. I needed him to think he was beating us, that he still had the upper hand.
Andrew shook his head in disgust.
You know, if you'd told us that, allowed us to weigh in, I might have been okay with that. Right now, it feels like you used us as pawns.
I suppose I did.
Jim put away his sword and looked out over the crowd of spirits.
I'm sorry. If I told anyone, I'd have risked it getting back to Anderson. He had ears everywhere. I needed to surprise him.
Look, it worked, no matter how you put it. So if we're done here, can we go home?
Mercedes asked. She hugged herself and shivered.
I really just want to get into a warm bath and forget about having aged 100 years.
Yes. Huyana, could you take everyone back? I think I just need to send these spirits back into the civilized part of this world, inside the walls.
you can come back for me.
I think, Rhea said, I'll stay a bit, if that's okay. If you're coming back for Jim, anyway.
Sure, I can do that.
Huyana looked at Bob, Charlie, Andrew, and Mercedes.
Are you guys ready?
They stepped closer together and concentrated. Jim and Rhea watched them fade from view until they had completely vanished. When they were gone, Jim cleared his throat and spoke up.
Okay, people. I figure you might want to get out of this forest. If you'll follow me, I'll lead you to the Promised Land, or whatever you call it in here.
It took a while for all the spirits to become one group, but after a few minutes, they started walking through the forest, back toward the wall. Rhea walked at the head of the group, next to Jim. For the first few minutes, she kept silent, but finally turned her head to look at him.
What you did back there, Jim? I realize it was Anderson, and that you had Huyana on your side, which pretty much meant you could do anything.
But how could you do that to your friends? Jim looked at her, trying to find the words.
I thought it was the only way.
If you thought that, then I think I've rubbed off on you a little too much. Charles said it himself. If you just kill a killer in cold blood, what makes you different from him?
He was hurting and killing hundreds of people and spirits. What exactly would not have been justified?
Rhea fell silent. They walked for a while before he looked at her again.
What's with the pajamas?
When Huyana came for me, I wasn't exactly dressed for work.
Where were you?
Somewhere far away.
And, are you going back there? I mean, when she comes back for us. She could take you back with us, or back to wherever you were.
I'd sort of hoped you'd come home.
Home? Rhea said, her brow furrowed. And where is home? With you? We had this discussion a few days ago, and I'm still not...
You just told me that what I've done was too much.
The last time we spoke, you were afraid you'd cross the line into full-on Darth Vader.
You could have killed Anderson back there with your mind. You could have torn his spirit to pieces and spread him around like confetti. You didn't. You killed Kronos, sure, and that was not only personal, but pretty much self-defense. If you're worried about your inner darkness taking over, I don't think you need to worry anymore. You've obviously found the line you won't cross. If we're sticking with the metaphor, you're not Vader, you're Luke.
Rhea opened her mouth to answer, but no words came out. She closed her mouth again.
If you're not ready to come back just yet, fine. But all I'm saying is, I think you've found out on what side you belong.
Rhea didn't answer, but when Jim took her hand, she didn't push it away. They walked ahead of the crowd, holding hands, until they reached the wall.
This is where we leave you, Jim said, turning to the spirits behind them. Inside is the community you'll be a part of from now on, unless you move on to, well, to whatever comes next. I'm no expert on that.
How do we get in?
One of the spirits asked, but before Jim could answer, a crack opened in the wall. He settled for pointing his finger. The spirits began to slowly enter the crack, but one of them stopped next to Jim. It was the woman in the sundress.
I suppose we should say thank you. We were so absorbed in what happened to that man that we forgot you're the ones who fought him.
You're welcome, Jim said. If you want to pay me back, come if I call you. If I never do, have a happy afterlife. The woman smiled and headed into the crack in the wall. When the last of the spirits had entered, it closed without a sound. Rhea gave Jim a crooked smile.
So? Now what?
Now we wait for Huyana to come get us, I guess.
Oh, she's back there, Rhea gestured. She has been for about half an hour. I think she's just waiting for us to tell her when and where we're going.
And where do you want to go?
Rhea gathered the bathrobe around her and smiled.
Moscow, for the time being. Do you have any idea what a Ritz-Carlton charges you for stealing a bathrobe?
But? She leaned forward and gave him a kiss on the cheek. I think I'll probably be back in San Francisco soon.
Jim looked relieved. Glad to hear it.
Now, just to be clear, this doesn't mean I'll be moving in. We'll see how it goes, okay?
He grinned. Okay.
Rhea kissed his cheek, turned her head, and looked at the girl who was standing 50 feet away, smelling the flowers that grew around the wall.
Okay, Huyana. Can you take me back to the hotel in Moscow?
Sure.
Huyana left the flowers and walked forward to take her hand.
And I'd appreciate it if you could come pick me up afterwards, Jim said. I'd like to go home, too.
I'll be right back,
Huyana smiled at him. See you soon, Jim. Rhea squeezed Huyana's hand.
Okay, girl, do your thing.
They vanished. Jim sat down on the ground, and for the next few minutes, while waiting for Huyana to return, he stared out over the dark forest where Anderson had lived.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.